Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Now, tonight we have another exciting broadcast in our Minuteman series, Minuteman number 4 in our series here. Now, after some announcements and a musical break for you to get your notebooks and pens and pencils in order, I'll give you a brief recap of Minuteman number 3, and then we'll continue on with new information. But first, if you'd like to write the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, or HOT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com, that's hourofthetime.com. The studio number, 928-333-2942. And my personal email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, remember, we are listener-supported, and through your support is how we're able to continue our operation, expand, keep doing our speaking engagements, which we do all the time, to various bodies, whether they be small private gatherings, large assemblies of officials. For instance, just last week I spoke on the ramifications, the good ramifications, that is, to counties and cities of the limits of federal jurisdiction, to several local politicians, appointees. And just prior to that, I spoke in New Mexico to several commissioners from the state assembly. This is what we do to get the word out, ladies and gentlemen. Private and public engagements, the radio broadcast, the website, to fight and win our struggle to restore our constitutional republic and all our freedoms. So we need your support. Now, don't forget, also on the website, hourofthetime.com, simply go to the Hot Shop, and there you will see, or the store, and you will see, when you enter the shopping cart website, thousands and thousands of broadcast video presentations, preparedness gear, medical supplies, etc. Also, the conference 2007 page, ladies and gentlemen. I suggest highly that you come, because every year is different. They're not repeated. And there's skills you will not get anywhere else. It's a gathering of allies, speakers, research, materials that is unparalleled and unavailable, like I say, anywhere else. All your notebooks, materials, everything you need for the week is given to you the very first morning for you to take home as well. Even blank notebooks, pens, pencils, any materials you need. Meals are served on-site by our professional cook and chef, who's loyal to us. We've used him before. He does an excellent job, and that makes for much more convenience. There's also field activities as well as classroom. It's not all just sitting in a boring classroom, falling asleep. So I suggest you go to our website, hourofthetime.com, our webpage of the conference 2007, and take a look at the schedule. You can still participate. We had some people whose payments did not come through. I talked to them. Some had different circumstances. Some just decided not to because of travel. Some, unexpected job changes. So they'll be at a new job and don't feel it'd be good to leave right after they start a new job. Various circumstances, but we have some slots open. So get on board, ladies and gentlemen. August is coming up, but you still have plenty of time to make your arrangements. Now, we're going to have a little contest this evening, and it applies only this evening, not on some rebroadcast if this got played 3 years from now. And what it is, I'm going to read you a piece from the Congressional Record, the U.S. Congressional Record, and if somebody will tell me what congressional record it's in. We're talking the public one, so many of you may have already researched this. This is for you history buffs, you religious buffs out there, people concerned about political maneuvering, people that study that, mechanizations, oaths, conspiracies, what have you. This at one time was quite famous. Many of you may know the answer, and if you do, you can have the entire Minuteman series for free when it's completed, of course. Can't send it right now. So, I'm going to read this from the Congressional Record. You tell me what Congressional Record it's in, and you can have the entire Minuteman series for free. And that includes anybody. You don't have to be in the U.S. I know we have listenership all around the world. If you happen to know it, let me, give me the answer. Email me at hourofthetime@hotmail.com or call me 928-333-2942. If I don't answer, leave a message. If you have the correct answer, I'll let you know. And you can have the entire Minuteman series for free. And I want you to truly know it because of your research. Don't start taking phrases and doing random Google searches to find it. We're going to find out there who has really done their research out there on oaths that have been taken that are right in the Congressional Record. Here we go. I, blank, now in the presence of Almighty God, the Virgin Mary, the blessed St. John the Baptist, the Holy Apostles, St. Peter and St. Paul, and all the saints, sacred host of heaven, and to you, my ghostly Father, the Superior General of the Society of Jesus, founded by St. Ignatius Loyola, in the pontification of Paul III, and continued to the present, do by the womb of the Virgin, the matrix of God, and the rod of Jesus Christ, declare and swear that His Holiness, the Pope, is Christ's vice-regent, and is the true and only head of the Catholic or Universal Church throughout the earth, and that by virtue of the days of binding and losing, given His Holiness the Pope, by my Savior, Jesus Christ, He hath power to dispose heretical kings, princes, states, commonwealths, and governments, as they may be safely destroyed. Therefore, to the utmost of my power, I will defend this doctrine and His Holiness's right and custom against all usurpers of the heretical or Protestant authority whatever, especially the Lutheran Church of Germany, Holland, Denmark, Sweden, and Norway, and the now pretended authority in churches of England and Scotland, and the branches of same now established in Ireland and on the continent of America and elsewhere, and all adherents in regard that they may be usurped and heretical, opposing the sacred Mother Church of Rome. I do now denounce and disown my allegiance as due any heretical king, prince, or state named Protestant or liberal, or obedience to any of their laws, magistrates, or officers. I do further declare that the doctrine of the Church of England and Scotland of the Calvinists, Huguenots, and others of the name of Protestants or Masons to be damnable, and they themselves to be damned who will not forsake the same. I do further declare that I will help, assist, and advise all or any of His Holiness's agents in any place where I should be, in Switzerland, Germany, Holland, Ireland, or America, or in any other kingdom or territory I shall come to, and do my utmost to extirpate the heretical Protestants or Masonic doctrines and destroy all their pretended powers, legal or otherwise. I do further declare that notwithstanding that I am dispensed with to assume any religion for the Jason, of the Mother Church's interest to keep secret and private all her agents' counsels from time to time as they instruct me, and not divulge directly or indirectly by word, writing, or circumstances whatsoever, but to my ghostly father or any of the sacred order. I do further promise and declare that I will have no opinion of my own, or will of my own, or any mental reservation whatsoever, even as a corpse or cadaver, but will unhesitantly obey each and every command that I may receive from my superiors and the militia of the Pope and Jesus Christ. That I will go to any part of the world, whithersoever I may be sent, to the frozen regions north, jungles of India, to the centers of civilization of Europe, or to the wild haunts of the barbarous savages of America, without murmuring or repining, and will not be submissive in all things whatsoever. I do further promise and declare that I will, when opportunity presents, make and wage relentless war, secretly and openly, against all heretics, Protestants, Masons, as I am directed to do, to extirpate them from the face of the whole earth, that I will spare neither sex nor condition, and that I will hang, burn, waste, boil, flay, strangle, and bury alive these infamous heretics. Rip up the stomachs and wombs of their women and crush their infants' heads against the walls in order to annihilate their execrable race. That when the same cannot be done openly, I will secretly use the poisonous cup, the strangulation cord, the steel of the poignard, or the leaden bullet, regardless of honor, risk, dignity, or authority of the persons. Whatever may be their condition in life, either public or private, as I at any time may be directed so to do by any agent of the Pope or Superior of the Brotherhood of the Holy Father and Society of Jesus, in confirmation of which I dedicate my life, soul, and all corporal powers, and with the dagger which I now receive, I will subscribe my name written in my blood and testimony thereof. And should I prove false or weaken in my determination, may my brethren and fellow soldiers of the militia of the Pope cut off my hands and feet, and my throat from ear to ear, my belly opened and sulfur burned therein, with all the punishment that can be inflicted upon me on earth, and my soul shall be tortured by demons in eternal hell forever. That I will, in voting, always vote for a Knights of Columbus in preference to a Protestant, especially a Mason. And that I will leave my party so that if two Catholics are on the same ticket, I will satisfy myself, which is the better supporter of the Mother Church, and vote accordingly. That I not deal with or employ a Protestant if in my power to deal with or employ a Catholic. That I will place Catholic girls in Protestant families that a weekly report may be made of the inner movement of the heretics. That I will provide myself with arms and ammunition that I may be in readiness when the word is passed or I am commanded to defend the church either as an individual or with the militia of the Pope. All of which I, blank, do swear by the Blessed Trinity and Blessed Sacraments, which I am now to be received to perform, and on part to keep this my oath. In testimony thereof, take this, my holy and blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, and witness the same further with my name written with the point of this dagger dipped in my own blood, and seal in the face of this holy sacrament. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's an oath that's in the congressional record. If you can tell me what congressional record that's from, because you honestly did your research, then you can have the entire Minuteman series for free when it's completed, of course, which won't be long, maybe another week and a half. So, we're going to go to a musical break, let you ponder that oath, think about what was said in it. It's quite strange. It's a very, very old document that I have. I'll give you a hint so you don't waste too much time. My document is more than 40 years old. So you can avoid looking in the last 40 years. And it was not in the 1800s. So there you go. You got a heck of a start already. So, ladies and gentlemen, after this musical break, be prepared to write, to learn. Tonight's broadcast, the next segment in our series, the Minuteman series, this is number 4. We'll be right back. ladies and gentlemen. Again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time here with your host, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Minuteman, Part 4. In Part 3, for a brief recap, we learned of general security, some of the basic points and methods that must be observed by underground resistance to an enemy takeover or enemy invasion of our country to fight back to restore our freedoms and a constitution. And one of the key things you learned was almost always the conventional forces have to have necessary strength and men and equipment to easily round up and destroy the underground forces anytime they can, learn their identity and location. We delved into personal security of various levels of members. We learned of psychological distance and what that means. We learned about what a mail cover is. Mail cover, as in postal. Then we got into the principles of unit personal security. Principles of deception. Principles of classifying all information. There's five of those. Principles of obedience. The principle of continued inspection. The principle of avoiding attention. The principle of fluid change. Now, ladies and gentlemen, to continue on this evening, we're going to go into the principle of time. Unless these conditions are adopted early in the life of the movement and continued, the chance of the resistance's survival is nil. Very brief and to the point. Aim the conclusion, there are three words that describe the elements of a sound security program: system, supervision, action. System. A security program is on the right track if procedures are outlined and made clear to all personnel. Each member must be trained to work the system involved. Above all, their enthusiasm must be kept at a high peak. Supervision. Nothing runs by itself, except that which is going downhill. And even that must be supervised or else it winds up in the ditch. The best system in the world is no better than the intending supervision. Action. All personnel must be alert to the problem. All must know what to do and what not to do in regard to unit and personal security. The program cannot be limited to just the leaders of the underground or to the bands involved. The whole membership of the underground organization must be enlisted to action. Sometimes this action must be directed against offenders. Firm enforcement puts teeth into a security program. A conflict against a domestic or foreign enemy, usurpation of our rights and our freedoms and constitution, will not be won on the security front by observing one or more of these principles. All must be followed diligently. And even when this is done, we still must remain alert 24 hours a day. Remember, it is he who lets his guard down first and most that loses the game. We have already covered the efforts being made to determine identities of members by use of mail covers and similar actions, as covered in Part 3's Minuteman series. How can we counteract this interference with our right to openly and safely use the United States mail? Certainly not by appealing to the postal inspectors. We've tried that. Certainly not by the protection of our postal laws. Our only effective means of protecting our right of privacy is to rely on the principles of security that you learned in the basic training program. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, each of these sections comes with testing and outside research responsibilities if you wish to get involved more. When the enemy has taken full stride, ladies and gentlemen, and their usurpation of our Constitution, our freedoms, and our country, whether they be foreign or domestic, whether it be a standardized military force or socialist and communist guerrilla forces, to ensure our security using the mail, you can use many of the principles we've already covered. Principle of deception. Use letter drops. Use innocent appearing letters. Postcards that carry our messages in hidden codes and ciphers. Remember the principle of classification? Use the most secure methods of communication for the most important information. Use less secure methods for less important. Rather than flood your secure lines of communication with unimportant materials. And remember the principle of obedience. Do not risk the loss of a secure means of communication by careless or lazy action. Remember the principle of continuous inspection? Well, continuously recheck on the security of your communication. Do not continue to use a means of communication after it has been compromised by lack of proper inspection. The principle of avoiding attention. Do nothing that makes the outside of your envelope look conspicuous. If you use tape or wax to help seal your letters, these should be on an inside envelope where they will not attract attention. Slogans should not be used on letters containing confidential information. Remember the next principle, the principle of fluid change? Do not continue to use the same fictitious name, address, or other deceptive means so long that it becomes stale. And remember the principle of time? Well, prepare secure addresses, letter drops, and lines of communication well ahead of time so they'll be ready when needed. Now, some practical security measures, ladies and gentlemen. Kind of tips, if you will. The principle of deception at work again. Subscribe to one or more left-wing periodicals, socialist periodicals, mailing list of some environmental group. This will keep the postal inspectors guessing as to which side you are really on. And while doing this, you have the ability and assets to do research. Looking through their socialist agendas and literature, look for intelligence information in these letters, upcoming meetings, agendas, short-term and long-term goals and plans. If you're interested specifically in gathering this information, inquire for further information. Always use two envelopes in sending mail to any patriotic organization or to any other member of the underground movement. Do not put a return address on the outer envelope. Put your return address on the inside envelope with the words "return postage guaranteed." Place opaque materials and metallic materials such as tin foil or aluminum foil, carbon papers even, between the inner and outer envelopes to aid in your mail not being scanned. Send the confidential communications from corner mailboxes or from post offices where you are not known. Be careful in the use of the telephone. Remember? Avoid useless conversations. Don't make unnecessary calls to the headquarters. Prepare telephone codes ahead of time for future protection. In recruiting new members, always learn as much as you can about the prospective recruit and make sure he is not an infiltrator before you identify yourself as a member of the Freedom Underground. Members of the underground organization in each area should be divided into four groups. Those who have been identified publicly or by law enforcement agencies as members of the underground. Those persons not known as members of the underground, but who are generally known as being patriots. Those persons who have kept their political beliefs hidden. And finally, members who profess to be liberal for the purpose of infiltrating enemy organizations. All persons should be careful in making contact with persons in a different category. For instance, Class D should be very secret in their contact with persons in Class A or B. Each member must respect the security of every other member and their families. Do not under any circumstance identify one member, even to other members, without their expressed permission on each and every occasion. Again, avoid loose talk. Do not discuss organizational plans in public places where you could be overheard. And do not even hint at such a discussion in the presence of non-members. Do not write patriotic letters to newspapers or magazines under your own name. To do so achieves very little except to identify you to the enemy during an occupation, whether that be from a foreign or domestic force. If you are already known as a patriot or as a member of the underground, you may find it advisable to spread the rumor that you have become disillusioned with the movement or to pretend a gradual loss of interest. Classify your various members' addresses, your communications, and your other activities as top secret, secret, and confidential. Only use your most secret lines of communication for the most important messages, rather than flooding them with unimportant materials. Demand obedience to all the security measures from all the other members. Persistent disregard for security measures could be cause for disciplinary action. Check your lines of communication from time to time by sending phony messages to make certain they are not intercepted. Change mail drops, meeting places frequently. Prepare secret rendezvous points, mail drops, etc. now that they may be used in time of some future emergency. Each band should assign some member the rank of security officer and should set up a system of files, fines, and other penalties for failure to comply with security precautions. Observe the need-to-know rule. Each member should be given only that information which is needed by him in the performance of his duty or which he will need in cooperating with other members of the band. No member should feel left out because he is denied such information. Instead, every member should willingly avoid information which he doesn't need. Be careful that you are not followed in going to and from meeting places or making contact with other members of the organization. Keep all records and correspondence carefully hidden in a manner that can be easily destroyed. Records should be kept in code whenever possible. And again, with this section, there's testing, projects, etc. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you think that an underground movement fighting a domestic or foreign enemy, usurping our rights, our constitutional republic, cannot break down your security plans as a Minuteman group, then just consider, just over the past few years, how many times in cases of espionage there's been at even the highest and most secured levels of offices like the CIA and FBI. It's been documented the security of any activity is inversely proportional to the square of the number of people involved. If you don't understand that, then look at it this way. If you alone plan and executed some action, today I'm going to go out in the woods and practice my shelter building, for instance, your security would depend totally only on one person, you. It doesn't guarantee that you'll get out there and complete all the tasks that you desired that day, but it puts the odds in your favor. Now, for a moment, consider the same activity carried off by you and 9 other friends. 10 people. 10 people going to all head out and practice building survival shelters all at once. Your failure is almost certain. And if you do succeed in a group like that, against the odds, by the way, in some activity, it's a human reaction to want to tell someone to brag about your success. And remember, we already talked about the useless chitter-chatter. Minuteman security has been compromised in the past, both by infiltration and internal problems. To give you an example, one member of a Minuteman group found a new recruit. The leader of the group tried to get the recruit to do the training phases that we've mentioned and perform some propaganda chores, leaving recruiting leaflets, etc. The recruit never finished any lessons, refused to distribute the leaflets, saying it was a menial job. What he wanted to do was be right in the top of the leadership immediately. All the warning lights went off. It was soon learned that every time he met with the group leader, he was wired by a local law enforcement agency, or he went and immediately reported them. From that moment on, that new recruit was fed a heavy diet of disinformation. See, this recruit wanted to go right into some armed action segment of the group. And that's what was so funny, because there was no armed action part of the group to even infiltrate. But had this leader not been aware and seen the warning signs, their security would have been compromised. Another case was where a Minuteman member had gotten a, which is totally ignorant on anybody's part, gotten a machine gun with no paperwork from another member. And the wife knew everything he did. Everything was fine until they entered a divorce. She threatened to tell everything. Where he got it, what it was, where it was hidden. It was diffused by the leadership of that particular band, luckily. But remember, what appears a secure situation today can run amok tomorrow. And let me tell you something again about machine guns, ladies and gentlemen. For an underground movement, they do two things. They waste ammunition and get good people arrested. Even if they are registered, they waste ammunition. I have had the opportunity to see machine gun owners all over the country, and rarely do I see one that operates reliably without constant jamming and feeding problems because they don't know really how to take care of them. They don't fire them very properly because they don't know proper stances. They weren't trained. It's more of a personal endeavor. If you look at the majority of the headlines for arrest and prison terms served, they involved illegally owned machine guns by people involved in the movement. It wasn't them using their First Amendment rights. It wasn't them reloading mass quantities of ammunition. It was doing something completely ignorant, like having a machine gun. When we are under a full invasion scenario, you'll have plenty of opportunities to get all the machine guns you want from the enemies, if that's what you desire. Now remember, if you overview and look through history, the greatest success has involved small autonomous groups of people known to each other for a long period of time, either as neighbors, relatives, or acquaintances. So you should make a list. Make it a little personal exercise of your own, if you will. A mental list of people that you feel you could trust to the end with your life, limb, and property. And you might be surprised just how small of a list you have. But that's okay. You want quality, not quantity. Now remember another thing about recruitment. It's easy to go after and think that you can go after a friend or associate or neighbor that you've known for years even. But remember, this is after you have maybe done years of study, and it's quite easy to forget that the average citizen is not going to be abreast with your knowledge level. Now remember that, ladies and gentlemen, you can scare them off. Or you can recruit bad apples by being so aggressive. Remember, the average Joe just has a few boxes of ammunition laying around the closet and not very much of that. Two or three boxes of this, two or three boxes of that. Now, when you let this average Joe know that you possess several thousands or tens of thousands of rounds, of some of the more popular military calibers, for instance, it will blow his mind, per se. And this has happened in the past, so keep that in mind. In one exact case, one of our Minutemen, going after a neighbor they had known forever, did this, and then suddenly the neighbor and wife showed great interest, too much interest. Now, why they had revealed too much to their neighbors, this Minuteman member, they at least had enough foresight and thought and knowledge to realize that the nightly visits from the neighbors increased, and the conversation usually led into underground activities. Luckily, the warning flags again went up. especially when they noticed the neighbors didn't go home always after the meetings. They went somewhere else. Luckily, our Minuteman had another trusted Minuteman member follow or tail this car. They went at night after these meetings, and what they were doing was going to a phone booth in a shopping center. They found out that they were contacting the FBI, felt that they were being good little informants for someone that may be radical to the FBI. Luckily, our friends were safe. They learned a lot about through this encounter, and they gave these neighbors a lot of disinformation from there on out. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a musical break here. Study your notes, think about what you've learned so far, and then we're going to continue on in the next phase. Remember again, there's testing at the end of what I just covered. We're not going to reveal the testing. It's only for those who are truly interested in being prepared for a foreign or domestic usurpation and invasion or takeover of our constitutional republic. Ladies and gentlemen, again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time here with your host, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the Minuteman Part 4. And just to make it clear to those of you out there who are socialist little rats that are listening to this show, or agents thinking you're going to get a promotion in your agency by doing something to me, I want to make one thing clear. I took an oath to protect and defend this Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. I voluntarily served my country to the culmination of 3 Bronze Stars. I'm not against America whatsoever. I'm only against enemies of our Constitution and our Republic. whether they be foreign or domestic. And the great statesmen throughout our history have always indicated that our biggest threat were our domestic enemies, those internal enemies planted, fed, funded. And you, ladies and gentlemen, need to remember that as well. We're not talking about going out and starting a revolution tomorrow. What we're doing is talking about defending our freedoms and our Constitution and our rights in this country, on this whole continent, against enemies both foreign and domestic when they make their strike. Because it is coming, ladies and gentlemen. You can't deny it. We're getting set up economically, politically, legally, for a fall. There's a major amount of foreign influence in our country now that only stands to gain through our fall, not through our betterment. That already have agents in the country, agents provocateurs, active agents, espionage agents, ground troops, the worker ants, if you will, the soldier ants, if you will. And those of you who study this greatly know what I'm talking about when I'm saying soldier ants. There's a particularly large and dangerous segment out there. And they will take advantage of our weaknesses and strike. And you, or me, or us, or any American who cares for his family, or Canadian, or Mexican, or Brit, I don't know if that's possible over there anymore because you've lost so much already. I don't mean the caring part, but or anywhere you might be that understands what they stand to lose, cares about their loved ones, their neighbors, their communities, their churches, their way of life, then take heed. Now, in this next phase, we're going to get into that, like we said earlier in the beginning of the series, that we would get into each thing categorically and in more detail. Now, this one is a subject that is often misunderstood, misinterpreted, just because of the word. But let's look at it. Propaganda. Propaganda, what is it? It's any action on the part of one group which is calculated to affect the thinking of another group. That may be considered as propaganda. Lobbying efforts from one politician and one party to sway your vote, that's propaganda. Bought off news media reporting only what's necessary to fulfill a certain agenda for the globalist elite, that's propaganda. Now the Germans use the term intellectual warfare. In the United States, the traditional term is psychological warfare. See my three-part series I did. In the USSR, if you will, I know they're broken up, I'm not stupid, but in general, those countries, they still uphold the same mindset. They consider all warfare to be political. And actually, it was the Russians who popularized, or I should say the Russian communists who popularized the word propaganda when they were referring to German efforts in the field during World War I and especially in World War II. Now remember, only the enemy is supposed to be using propaganda. And that's why the word has developed the idea of falseness, why our own psychological warfare is always assumed to be the truth. Do you see the oxymoron here? But for this study here, ladies and gentlemen, we'll use the term propaganda. And the best propaganda always has some grain of truth in it. Something which the receiving audience can readily believe, and from which their mental direction and processes can then be guided to the desired direction. That's the whole purpose of it. Propaganda, of course, can be entirely true. But maximum advantage is gained for its originator by proper timing or by assenting certain facts and neglecting others. Think about the environmentalist movement and their socialist agenda for this world, their enslavement agenda, their population reduction agenda, their confiscation of rights and properties agenda. Think about that when you think about accenting certain facts and neglecting others. Propaganda comes from propagate, which in this regard means to travel along chiefly under its own power, to propagate. A newspaper can't travel along on its own, ladies and gentlemen, think about it. To reach maximum distribution, a newspaper article, a radio broadcast, what have you, needs to be passed on by word of mouth from one person to another. Hence, all the articles and emails and pirated shows that get sent all over the internet. And that is why it has been discovered that propaganda becomes fully effective only when its message reaches the level of rumor. And at that point, its continued propagation is assured. And it will ultimately reach a far greater number of people than those who saw or heard the original message. Now, in the use of propaganda, it is a science. And to use it most effectively, several things must be considered. One, the purpose of the propaganda. Two, the audience to whom it is directed. Three, the means by which it is to be delivered. Four, the motives to which it appeals. Five, the purported source of the propaganda. Six, propaganda intelligence. Seven, propaganda security. And eight, production. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a good point to stop tonight. You have a lot to reflect on and study in your notes. Now remember, ladies and gentlemen, the hour of the time is listener supported, and we give you information that you will get nowhere else. Many so-called patriotic talk shows and talk show hosts are only concerned about increasing their revenues and listenership at the sake of their country and their freedoms and their fellow countrymen. And I can't tell you who those are because each person has to decide that for themselves. It's pretty obvious, though, in many cases. So all you need to do is wake up and listen and become proactive. Quit sitting back expecting someone else to do it for you, asking mindless questions like you need to be babysat. There's a lot that you can figure out on your own, ladies and gentlemen. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and become aware. You will be a stronger person for it. You'll be a more intelligent person, a more active person. And you'll understand more so than you do now, even then, the threat against us. Understand what's at stake and what needs to be done when a full strike comes against our great Constitution and our freedoms. I want to thank all of you for tuning in again to the Hour of the Time. Our website, hourofthetime.com, and our physical address, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona.